slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Good morning, Reading. Well, it's another perfect day out there in the northern Sacramento Valley. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show, Positively Healthy, here on KCNR 1460. You know, I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice in Reading for 18 years, and I'm having a little technical. I can't hear myself. Oh, I can hear myself. All right, cool. You know, I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice here in Reading for 18 years, and I've learned that health has been built or maintained by making a lot of little changes. And this show is dedicated to helping you think about what changes maybe that you can make in your life and your health. Today's show is a perfect example of easy change. You know, as we interview both of our guests today, we'll be able to, you can evaluate for yourself if some of these changes are the right changes for you, and you can decide if this is an easy step. You know, next week we're going to have a vaccination expert on, Dr. Tim O'Shea. He'll be on as a guest, and he has written a book called The Sanctity of Human Blood, and that vaccination is not immunization. And, you know, some of you have emailed us questions already for that show, and so I thank you for that. You can also call in also to that show, as you can this show as well. The number is 605-4567. And if you follow my blog on the Record Searchlight website at all, you know that I've been plagued with computer problems, but they have been resolved. So we'll be back up and running with our new website soon, and which also means that you can send emails directly to the show, hopefully next week. So if you listen to this show and you have people who'd like to listen to it outside of the broadcast area, of course you can go to kcnr1460.com and listen through your computer. And let me start with our guest co-host. Sometimes we have a guest co-host, and today we have Mark Beecham. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Trudy.
Mark has an opinion column for the Record Searchlight, and it is out today. He has a Saturday column, and he also does our restaurant reviews for a date. And has a very popular blog on Reading.com. And our first guest today, you know, we have two guests. Today we have Gary Pepe from New Olinda Olive Oil, our only Shasta County-produced olive oil. And we also, the second half of the show, will be Lance Aldrin, a salmon fisherman who lives in Chico, Corning, and loves to go up in the summers and fish for wild Alaskan salmon, and he's going to teach us about the health benefits of this extraordinary fish and why you should choose that over farm-raised fish. So today, lots of information, and we're even going to have some local history here with Gary Pepe. And so, Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Trudy.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today. Yeah.
Hi, thank you.
You know, I've used your olive oil for, boy, I don't know how long, and I love it. And we used to sell it in our practice to our patients, and we just sort of got away from it along the way somewhere. And having you on the show, getting you back here, we'll start that again, you know. We just love promoting your delicious olive oil. So
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So let's start with how long you've been in the olive oil business, and how did you get started? How did you fall in love with olive oil?
Well, you know, I've always loved olive oil. I didn't think I was going to get into the olive oil business per se, but I was looking for doing some farming. And it so happened I moved out here, and I think in 89, and I had no idea that a place called Happy Valley existed. And the problem was that the property that we live on, it wasn't very good for farming. Nobody told us that you actually have to have irrigation in California, whereas in the East Coast, where I'm from, in Philadelphia, I mean, it rains all summer. So we found that out pretty quickly. So it was a few years later that we were able to find some property that was that we could afford, that we could put a farm on. And that happened at this point to be an olive grove. And we were going down to UC Davis. UC Davis, the agricultural school in the state of California, was really pushing olive oil at that time. The winery business, they had all these olive trees, and they were wondering, what are they going to do with these olive trees? Well, UC David said, well, make olive oil with it. So they started putting together courses. And my wife and I went down to UC Davis to take these very expensive courses in the Culinary Institute of America and at UC Davis. And they brought in people from Italy and Spain to talk to us about all these uses of olive oil and why it would be a great new agricultural industry for the state of California.
Interesting.
And that's how we got interested in it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And so then, go ahead.
Gary, in Happy Valley, people who drive through Happy Valley, they see acres and acres of olive trees out of nowhere. So suddenly, acres and acres of olive trees, they look to be very, very old. What's the history behind those old trees?
Well, it's interesting because it's come to the forefront right now, the historical value of these olive trees and how they got there, or at least the beginning of them. And the olive trees were started, the olive industry is the green olive industry. Most of those trees you see that have any real value are called Sivianos. And the Siviano produces a big green olive that's harvested in late September. And a company that used to own all that property recently was West Coast Products down in Orland. And they started buying up land back in the 30s. A guy named Marino Garbus headed West Coast Products. And every year they harvest those big green olives for the fresh green olive market and the pickle olive market. And it produces a lot of income for a lot of people up there still. But it started back in the 1880s when a man called Samuel Alexander from Hawaii came out here and started planting olive trees.
He was one of the sugar barons in Hawaii at the time, right?
Yeah, he was a sugar baron, son of missionaries that went out to Hawaii to evangelize the population there. And he and another man named Baldwin got together, and they started to develop the sugar industry in Maui, Hawaii. Their big thing was the middle of Maui, as I understand, is pretty hot and dry. But the mountains, there's a lot of rain. So they devised a method to get that rainwater down into the valley, and they started planting sugar cane.
Oh, interesting. You know what? We're going to take a quick break and be back with more of the history of Happy Valley's olives. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy.
I'm a wife, a mom, and a grandmother. And for 26 years, I've been a registered nurse and health educator. Hi, this is Nancy Sutton Pierce. Join me every Saturday from 11 to 12 a.m. on the Conscious Living Show. It's your time. Let's talk health, love, life challenges, and so much more. Set your dial at 1460 on Saturday at 11 for the Conscious Living Show. Brought to you by Nancy Sutton's House of Yoga and Hilltop Medical Clinics.
Hi, this is Sharon, owner of Home Helpers. Listen Saturdays as I host Senior Solutions. I will focus on informing our aging seniors and their families of resources in Shasta County. Guests will join me in discussing home care, estate planning, health care issues, veterans benefits, financial concerns, and area agencies and resources. Sponsors include Home Helpers, Spectrum Prosthetics, Sierra Oaks and Oakdale Heights of Reading, Nancy Goddess Elder Law Attorney, Shasta County Adult Protective Services, and Owens Healthcare and Pharmacy. That's Senior Solutions Saturdays at 1, right here on KCNR 1460.
If you're a diabetic Medicare Part B patient, you know how frustrating it can be receiving your supplies from a large mail order company. The supplies you get may be the wrong ones. They may be delayed for some reason, or they may not arrive at all. And when you call with questions about your order, you can seldom talk with a live person. Well, here's great news. Owens Healthcare can now help you with your Medicare diabetic supplies. We're local, reliable, and you can talk with a real person. Enjoy the convenience of receiving your supplies directly from our diabetic experts at Owens Healthcare on Court Street, downtown Reading, or have them delivered right to your door. We will automatically call you when your supplies are low so you won't run out. And we'll bill your Medicare Part B insurance as well as any supplemental insurance you may have, resulting in no out-of-pocket expense to you. Now, really, can you get that kind of service from a mail order company? Call today and have your supplies to you tomorrow. Owens Healthcare, making your life easier.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last just.
Well, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on 1460. Our guest in the studio is Gary Pepe of New Olinda Olive Oil, and we're talking about Happy Valley. And as you drive out through Happy Valley, you see all these old trees, these trees that are sort of a gray-green leaf, smaller leaf, and sort of a knobby-looking old bark. And, how tall are those trees? 20, 40?
They can get pretty high, but to prune them for olive harvesting, you want them no more than about 12 feet high.
Okay, so they don't look that big, but if our listeners' eyes haven't actually seen those trees, they can start looking for them. You know, they do look a little bit out of place. There are a lot of them. They go on for miles. And out there also, there is a very old house. And a lot of us who have driven around out there, you see that house. I know the first time I saw that old brick, beautiful, kind of colonial. Is that colonial maybe looking house?
Oh, I've been told it's called Neo-Italian Italianate.
Oh, of course. That I was going there next. And, I pulled right over, turned around, went back, drove around, kind of, it's so interesting. It catches you off guard. Now, what do you know about that house?
Well, we know that Samuel Alexander had the house built about 1890, and he lived in it. Probably he and his family lived in it temporarily on certain occasions during harvest. They really were Hawaiian, but they moved to Oakland to become more cosmopolitan. And they didn't want to go to Happy Valley, which back in those days was probably really rural. So they would just come up temporarily to help supervise the harvest.
You said during the break that he actually named Happy Valley?
That's right. He did name Happy Valley after Happy Valley, Maui, and Olinda, Maui. And that's where we got, because Happy Valley is really not a valley.
And some people would argue it's not happy either.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Some would argue that it is.
It depends on your lifestyle, I guess.
And so we have sister cities then on Hawaii.
We do,
oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Okay, yeah. Well, that's pretty exciting. Now, this process of making olive oil, you have your farm, and you then you learned through UC Davis and these classes how to make olive oil, and what process of the many ways people make olive oil, what process did you choose?
Well, the modern way of making olive oil now is with a centrifuge. Nobody uses presses anymore. So a lot of the nomenclature, like first cold press, is really antiquated, and it's no longer valid. Everybody now in the United States uses centrifuges, and there are various types of centrifuges. The big commercial operations, and by the way, the biggest olive oil production facility on earth just went into full production in the little town of Arctoy, right off the I-5 corridor. Mm. That's on earth. It's gigantic. And so California expects to be producing a lot of olive oil in the future. Me, on the other hand, I have a little kind of like a family-run machine, which is a two-phase centrifuge. And now the difference is that the olive oil is not separated from the olive water in processing. So the olive oil, olive water mixture are put into big tanks, and they gradually separate. Now, this is the way the Greeks and the Romans used to do it in ancient times. So it's supposed to be a better way of making olive oil. And the olive oil, it does taste a little bit different. The three-phase system, which is the big processors use, they removed the olive water immediately, mechanically. And then the water, and the big problem in Europe and the Mediterranean is it creates a great environmental problem. So they're going to another phase, 2.5 phase they've just come up with, and that helps bind a lot of the water into the olive mash, so it doesn't, you don't need a big pit dug where the wastewater goes. Instead, it's a lot of it, the water is bound up in the olive mash, and that way it can be evaporated off without compromising the groundwater.
Interesting.
Where can people get your olive oil? It's called New Olinda, is that right?
It's called New Olinda. Used to be Oleo Olinda, but you can get it at Orchard Nutrition. We have it in bulk in stainless steel tanks there, and we also have it in bottles, and also Holiday Market on Placer and Sunset Market on Placer. Eureka Way.
Can you talk a little bit about the health benefits of olive oil and your olive oil in particular?
My olive oil is different because it's made two phases, but I think Trudy would probably know more about that than I.
You know, I will, and I want to compliment you that one of when we look at olive oil, I mean, when we can have the water leave slowly like your process does, we have more nutrients in the oil. And so instead of that quick process of getting the water to leave. And so when we come back from the break, I'll talk a little bit about the benefits, and then we'll come back and talk to you more about your process. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
Hi, this is Trudy Pratt. Have you tried the new Air Park Cafe lately? Owner Cindy Norris is known for her veggie scramble. It includes hash browns and toast for $6.50. It's my favorite breakfast in Reading. Air Park Cafe is located at Benton Air Park, where Gold Street meets Air Park Drive. The hours at the Air Park are Monday through Saturday, 7:30 in the morning to 2 p.m., and on Sundays a bit shorter, from 7:30 in the morning until 1:30 p.m. Come and watch the planes land at the Air Park Cafe.
We're speaking with Mr. Edgar Lumpf, universally recognized as the world's most timid man, winner of the Nobel Prize for Cowardice. Mr. Lumpf.
What's that?
That's a microphone, sir.
I don't want to touch it. I'm afraid of electricity.
I'll hold it for you.
Not too close.
Mr. Lumpf, as the world's most timid man, when is the last time you were out of your house?
Last month, for my regular dental checkup.
Mr. Lumpf, I find that hard to believe. Of the 90 million Americans afraid to go to the dentist, you have to be number one.
But Dr. William Farrell is my dentist. He offers sedation dentistry, so I don't really know what he does. I'm afraid to ask, but look at these.
Mr. Lumpf, you have a charming, gleaming smile.
All thanks to Dr. William Farrell and his wonderful staff.
And as winner of the Cowardice Award, you have a lot more to smile about.
I haven't picked it up yet. I'm afraid of flying. And Norwegians?
Take it from Mr. Lumpf, the world's most timid man. You don't have to conquer your fear of dentistry. Dr. William Farrell will do that for you. Visit PaloCedroDentistry.com or call 547-5757.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just
oh, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show Positively Healthy here today on a beautiful Saturday. In the studio, we have Gary Pepe of New Olinda Olive Oil. And, Gary, we were going to talk a little bit about the health benefits of olive oil, and you basically just said, why don't I go through this? Because, you know, I'm fixated on the fact that our food should be our medicine, and the more nutrients we can get out of our food, the better off we're going to be. Also, sometimes some of these foods do some extraordinary things to help regulate your body and get rid of diseases that are trying to start. And when we look at olive oil, you know, we realize that olive oil helps regulate many degenerative diseases like diabetes or asthma, colon cancer, arthritis. It's definitely an anti-inflammatory, and so it protects your cells from certain types of damage. It lowers your blood sugar levels. It lowers your blood pressure. And so a lot of these things start decreasing risks of certain cancers. And it has something called phenols in it, and phenols protect us from damage to our system from things called free radicals, which means, you know, basically toxins coming in, wreaking havoc. You know, these phenols go out and sort of are big neutralizers. And so one of the things about Gary's olive oil is that his olive oil is really high in those. And those stay in the olive oil if you're not really going to heat it. And so, you know, this when you have a delicate, beautiful olive oil, you don't necessarily want to wreck it. So eating it raw would be preferable. And, you know, olive oil also is antimicrobial, so there are certain things, you know, certain disorders that we've come across in the last few years, like H. pylori, which is sort of this bacteria that likes to dig itself into your digestive tract, into your gut wall. You know, olive oil is something that will actually kill that bacteria. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, a question about olive oil. You buy olive oil, how long does it last, and how do you store it? What's the best way to store olive oil?
Do you want to answer that, Gary? How do you how do you, we know that olive oil is really delicate, and we always have people store it in the refrigerator so it doesn't get oxidative damage from oxygen, but I bet you probably know when it starts to go more than I would. When you process it, how long do you have?
Well, you know, it's the way you store it. That determines how long it will last. And also there are various types of olives that produce different types of oils, and they vary, too, in the age. But if you keep it in a cool, dark place, it should last at least a year, maybe up to 2 years, before it really starts to degrade. But, it's, of course, the sooner you use it, the better. But never refrigerate it. It's not really necessary to refrigerate it, and the cold temperatures will start to precipitate out various types of fats within the oil, and you have to thaw it out. So it's better just to keep it in a cool, dark place, and you're good to go.
So don't leave it on the kitchen counter in the sunlight. That's a bad idea.
Well, the sun would be really destructive to it. Any ultraviolet light, it's always good to make sure the olive oil moves quickly in the supermarket, because fluorescent light, I understand, has a lot of ultraviolet light, and the oil can really seriously degrade under those light conditions.
How many acres do you get? How many acres do you farm or get olives from in Happy Valley, and how many bottles or gallons of olive oil do you produce annually?
Well, you know, it really varies. You know, the harvests are so different. This past harvest has been a disaster all over California. It's probably one of the worst harvests ever. And people are getting a fraction of the harvest that they used to get. But I could get, you know, close to 30 tons on 20 acres, but I've known people that could get 8 tons of olives an acre. And it depends on the type of olive, like the Siviano olive that we love so much for the green olive market they use for pickling. It produces an oil, but you only get about 15% production from that. Whereas the new types of dwarf olive trees that are being planted in high-density groves in areas of like Artois or Red Bluff area, they get 40 gallons a ton.
Have you been affected by the drought?
Well, we almost were. We were going to be cut off completely from ag water last year, but the wet March changed everything. So water got to be more expensive last year. This year, if we continue to have good rains, we'll be up to full parity as far as water is concerned. Water is getting to be a big problem, because we haven't really had a good wet year for quite a while.
What kind of soil do olive trees need?
Well, you know, olive trees are good on growing rocky, slopey soil or bad soil. So that's why Happy Valley has so many olive trees, because the soil is a clay loam, but it's very deep. And one thing olive trees need is well-drained soil. You can't kill an olive tree, but you can drown it. For instance, the Happy Valley fire actually burned a lot of my olive grove, but they've come up more vigorous than ever since then. But flood an olive tree, and it will die.
How long can olive trees live?
Well, you know, they have olive trees in the Mediterranean that are thousands of years old. But to be a good production, I don't think they could be over 1,000 years. So we have a little time yet to worry about that.
If someone were to plant an olive tree in their yard, I mean, we're learning right now that most of us have kind of lousy soil, right? We're same looking soil as Happy Valley. How long until it can produce olives?
Well, I've always had a couple who planted an olive tree in their yard, and they've always had problems with it, because probably the main thing is that it was getting too much irrigation water. If you plant a tree on your lawn, it's like an oak tree. You know, it's used to, you know, dry climate. Then you put a lawn around it, and it has to be watered every day. Pretty soon you get that root fungus, and the oak tree dies. And olive trees have the same problem. You have to have the soil dry out before you water it again. And And I'm not sure if I followed your question exactly the way you asked it.
Yeah, I just didn't know if some of us in Reading could throw a few trees in our yard. I mean, when you go to Happy Valley, you get inspired because you see lousy soil, and a lot of us have lousy soil. So you think, well, let's put a few trees in the yard and maybe make one cup of olive oil someday.
Well, you could probably do that. I mean, actually, a big business now in some of the abandoned olive groves is that the property owners are selling off their trees to this landscaper who digs them out full grown and plants them on your property for you. I don't know how much it costs, but I see them digging out trees all the time. So I guess that's the new market.
But the key is not to overwater them once they get planted in your yard.
That's right. Yeah, you have to think that they are a drought-tolerant plant. So that's how they developed in the Mediterranean. And it's a Mediterranean climate. We have a Mediterranean climate. So they can survive all summer without water. But if you want a crop, you're going to have to water them periodically to make sure you get that crop.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I appreciate you coming on the show today, and I can only encourage people to get out and try your olive oil and get a little healthier. So thanks for coming on, and this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. Stay tuned for our next guest, Lance Aldrin, our salmon fisherman. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Five Star Bank, where we take a professional, progressive, and personal approach to every relationship. Whether you partner with us through our small business banking program, open a Capital Green savings account, or secure a home loan through our mortgage division, you'll find that Five Star Bank genuinely cares about you. Really, it's all about relationships, and we would like to get to know you better. Come on into our office at 358 Hartnell Avenue or visit us online at fivestarbank.com. Professional, progressive, and personal. Five Star Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
As hard as it may be to believe, every 90 seconds in this country, a woman is raped. On Saturday, April 10th, Real Men in Channel.
Follow these protocols, we'll get a family member to call or whatever. Certainly, if you follow these protocols, we'll get a family member to call or whatever, but I definitely have noticed in but I definitely have noticed. You follow these protocols, we'll get a family member to call or whatever. But I definitely have no.
We're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Visit us at 144 Hartnell Avenue in the south end of the Raley's Cobblestone Shopping Center. That's East Earth Trade Winds, 144 Hartnell Avenue in Reading.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show Positively Healthy here on KCNR. Well, gosh, I hope you learned something about olive oil there, and we're moving on to our next guest. We have Lance Aldrin from Aldrin and Sons. Alaskan salmon. Lance, are you with us?
I am here.
Well, good morning. Good morning. How are you?
You know, all's well. It's one of those days when the sun's out, and that means yard work.
Oh, good for you. So we got you out of a little bit of it, huh?
We did, but we'll be right back at it when we're done here.
Oh, good. Hey, you know, you came and you spoke at our Weston A. Price Foundation meeting a few months back, and you put on just this fabulous, fabulous slideshow of, you know, a nice PowerPoint presentation of wild Alaskan salmon and the benefits of it, and you kind of contrasted farm-raised salmon and why we'd want to steer around it, and I was so impressed that I wanted to have you on my radio show. And beyond that, let me say, we tried your salmon, and I've never tasted anything even remotely close to being that delicious ever. So, you know, hats off to you, and if clapping wouldn't sound annoying over the air, I would be clapping right now. So,
Well, good. Glad to hear that. Yeah. I appreciate the feedback there.
Yeah. And so, you know, I want to start with just what your business is. And I know that you're a counselor in Corning, and then you have this secret passion beyond that, or in addition to fishing. I mean, you go to Alaska in the summers and you fish like so many have, and it's something you decided to actually have a business. So tell us how you got started in that.
You know, just out of high school back in the early 80s, I had worked a couple of summers at a church camp in Alaska, and the director of the church camp knew that I wanted to experience all of Alaska that there was. I didn't want to just, you know, work at the camp, but I wanted to get out and do other things. So he had a couple of buddies who were commercial fishermen, and so I was able to go out a day or two and spend time on some commercial fishing boats. And at the age of whatever that was, 20 or whatever, I thought, this has got to be the greatest job in the world, and I want to come back and do this. And we fast forward to 2005. My wife and I decided that based on our school year calendar and whatnot, we had, you know, summers free, and we had three boys, so we have built-in crew. We decided to go ahead and buy into the commercial fishing industry.
And how complicated is that, to buy into that?
You know, it's managed very well, and every aspect of the fishery in Alaska is managed by the state. And to actually get into the fishery, you need to buy what's called a limited entry fishing permit. And the state of Alaska in the mid-70s realized that there could be too many people participating and not enough resource, and so they limited the number of commercial fishing licenses that they issued. And so if you want to get into the industry, you need to find somebody who's getting out of the industry, and you have to buy out their permit, and that's the way that you get involved. And then on top of the permit, you obviously need the boats, the skiffs, the gear, and that type of stuff.
Now, you also showed us a slideshow of kind of the process that you use and how that's very, very environmentally, I don't know, I guess it's just friendly, right? It's kind of sustainable approach.
Right, right. The Alaska fisheries are first and foremost managed on a sustainability basis. And what that means is that their biologists do the testing and the sampling and the monitoring of each of the species, and then harvest numbers are based off of what they feel is surplus to the needs of the environment. And as an example there, where I fish out of Kenai, Alaska, in the 2008 season, the forecasted return of sockeye salmon, which is the primary fish that I catch, to the Kenai River was forecasted to be very low, much lower than they would like to see. And so we were up there for 7 weeks, and we only got to fish 5 days. And that's because, based on the sustainability model that is in the state of Alaska's constitution, the return of the fish to the river system to spawn and perpetuate the race is first and foremost on their list of things that must be done. And anything that's surplus to that is then available to the commercial fishermen.
And then how many pounds of salmon do you usually bring back per year?
You know, on a good season, I will catch upwards of 50,000 pounds of fish, and the majority of those go to a processor there in Alaska. I deliver the fish each day. I get paid each and every day. And that goes out just into the common market. I don't know, that might be your Safeway fish or your Costco fish or whatever. And then I have a small portion custom processed. It's fish that I've caught. I work with a small processor who butchers and packs to my specifications, and I have that shipped down here to Chico to sell locally, and we're typically doing 2,000 to 3,000 pounds a year on that.
And now this year, did you sell out faster than you usually do? Is that...
Yeah, you know, this year I did. I've actually been on the waiting list at the Chico Farmers Market for 3 years, and this last summer, I did not have the go-ahead to participate in the farmers market, so I, you know, didn't bring as much fish home as perhaps I should have. But after a three-year wait, we did get the okay to participate here at the Chico Market in February, and we basically sold out in four Saturdays. And so the response was overwhelming. I typically have fish clear through the season. We're usually delivering the last of our stock in June, and I am basically out of fish as of now. Farmers Market was phenomenal for us.
Well, I'm sure once they had it, you know, one weekend, they came back and kept buying it. You know, it's so phenomenal. Now, as far as, so now that you're in the Chico Farmers Market, you are guaranteed a spot this next year?
You know, I'm still there just on a space available basis. And the Chico Farmers Market, the Saturday market, is expanding. And in May, they're going to open a second location here in Chico anyway. And so when I come back from Alaska the end of August, 1st of September, it appears that we will have a spot in that market. And then the best news going for us is we just got a phone call on Wednesday, and we have been accepted into the San Francisco Ferry Plaza Farmers Market.
Oh, can your luck get any better?
I mean,
that's the primo farmers market of the whole probably world.
You know, it is. We went down last Saturday just to kind of tour it, and they are averaging 25,000 people a Saturday at that market.
I can't believe it, because I've tried to walk around there. I mean, it's just so congested.
Yep, it's amazing. And the I sent all of our information to the market manager, and he just loved our business philosophy, the sustainability, you know, of the actual fishery in Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
He said, this is what we need. So we're going to be, you know, splitting the family up next fall, and a couple of my boys will be selling at the Chico Farmers Market, and the rest of us will head into San Francisco. So
what
yeah,
you're
this
saying...
has grown a little larger than I thought it was going to, but we all love it, and we're providing a great product to the North State here.
And we Redding folks, we're just never going to get your salmon again, are we? Is that
bottom
line?
I think what's going to happen with the Redding folk is we're going to have to figure out maybe a once-a-month delivery or something like that. And I've been working on that slowly, heading south of Chico. I've got some customers that come down from the Chester area. And then I've had quite a bit of interest up in Redding. And so what we're envisioning doing this next year is getting pre-orders, you know, email or phone,
and then saying,
okay, Sunday afternoon, we're going to be in Redding from, you know, 1 to 2 o'clock on this specific, you know, Sunday or whatever, and people can pre-order, and we'll find a location that works for everybody, and people can come by and pick up their orders.
Oh, good. You're not excluding us.
Oh, no. There's interest everywhere,
yeah.
And I think I just needed a bigger family to cover
all the
areas.
Come on. Hey, you know what? We need to take a break. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
And we'll be back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Have you ever heard of colon hydrotherapy? It's a way to clean, tune, and rebuild your large intestine. Chris Mann, owner of North State Hydrotherapy, is a certified colon hydrotherapist with a practice in Redding located at 3067 Victor Avenue. Chris rebuilt her own health using colon therapy and can help you. Call Chris at 223-3656. That's 223-3656.
Market volatility seems here to stay. What does this mean for your investments, and what steps should you take? Uncertain times call for experience that you can trust. By working with your Morgan Stanley Smith Barney financial advisor, you'll gain insights that can answer these questions to make important investment decisions for your portfolio today that can help you reach your future goals. Please call Rick Hill at 223-4200. That's Rick Hill at 223-4200.
Hi, I'm Mark Montgomery, Director of Adult Services of Shasta County. Reaching the golden years should be a time to treasure grandchildren and reminisce about the past. Unfortunately, many older Shasta County residents are abused and alone. People don't like to talk about this shameful secret. Sometimes, the people who take care of the elderly or disabled also take advantage of them. Trust can be exploited when no one knows. It's time everyone knows. Call Adult Protective Services of Shasta County on our 24-hour hotline at 225-5798.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning.
Well, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show Positively Healthy. And on the line, we have Lance Aldrin of Aldrin & Sons Salmon Fishing. Lance, are you still with us?
You betcha.
Oh, good. Well, you know, you're such a success story. You know, during the break, Mark had a couple of good questions.
Yeah. Okay. You now that you're into the Chico Farmers Market, at least tentatively, and into the ferry building in San Francisco, are you apt to take all that 50,000 pounds of fish that you're getting every year and use it for your own business as opposed to selling, as you do now, the majority of it into the, as you put it, the common market?
Yeah, that's what we're looking to do. And, you know, this is a bit of a speculative deal. Boy, when I take the fish to the processor and I deliver it and I get that check, you know, that's a good feeling. Paying the processor to custom fish or custom process some of the fish, ship it down, store it, and then, you know, hope that we sell it, that's a little more tentative. But yeah, we are projecting what we think we will sell this next year. And what I've tried to do is look at what the attendance is at the Chico Farmers Market and how much we've sold there and then kind of project that into the San Francisco market. So, yeah, we will be bringing, you know, a lot more fish home. I've got a walk-in freezer on my property, and I've already arranged, you know, for not only that to be full, but I've got some remote storage down towards Sacramento that I've already lined up. And, yeah, we're going to bring, you know, a lot more fish home this year. I don't anticipate ever having really enough that I'm going to be doing this, you know, every Saturday for the entire year. But we're hoping for 4 to 6 months that we're able to participate in both markets there.
Now, why is your salmon so good? I mean, I've eaten a lot of salmon, and it's all pretty much been sockeye.
Okay.
So why is it so delicious?
You know, there's a couple of things that a little guy like my business is able to do that, you know, maybe the bigger boys don't. And that would be the same thing with, you know, any of your farmers that are selling local, organic, through farmers market and that type of thing. And, you know, number one is just the care of the fish. And if you're buying fish on the fresh market, there's a good chance that that fish was caught anywhere from 3 to 5 days ago. It's been, you know, kept on ice, and by the time you get it, it has already started to, you know, deteriorate. And what we do is every 6 hours, and I would encourage everybody to go take a look at our website, aldrinsalmon.com, and we have a bunch of YouTube videos linked there where you can see how we catch the fish. But every 6 hours, we go out and we pick the fish out of our nets, and they immediately go into either a dry tote that we put the fish in and layer with ice, or we put them in a slush ice tote that brings the temperature down to about 33 to 35 degrees immediately. And what that does, and, you know, not to sound gross or anything here, but it prevents the blood from starting its decomposition process. And if you can get the fish cooled down immediately, then it goes to the processing line within an hour or two of being caught, and then it's flash frozen and it's kept anywhere from minus 10 to minus 20 degrees. That product is just as good as if you had caught it yourself, you filleted it, and you threw it right on the barbecue. And
well, yeah, that's how it tastes. And
yeah,
you know, all that extra effort is certainly worth it.
It is. And on the market up there, you know, we typically get oh, a nickel to a dime a pound more for our fish from the processors if we are willing to do the slush icing. And so even the big processors that are, you know, pumping out millions of pounds of fish, they realize it's a better product, and we do get rewarded for that extra effort.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I want to move into the difference between farm-raised fish and wild Alaskan salmon. And,
okay.
And you do such a good job describing that. Can you go over that for our listeners?
Yeah, you betcha. Now, I will say that this is about as politically volatile as the current healthcare issue when it comes to
Bring it on.
Yeah, to discussing, you know, farmed fish versus wild fish. But, you know, for so long, salmon was kind of seen as, you know, the best of the best, and then it got priced out of sight to where, you know, most people just weren't able to afford it, and it's seasonally available. And even then, during fishing season, we're never assured with how much we're going to catch. So the fish farmers, you know, clued into that and said, hey, we think there's a market year-round. We can raise fish in pens, and we can provide a steady inventory to the consumer year-round. But any time you take something that was, you know, intended to be raised wild and you put it in confinement, problems pop up. And, you know, what they're finding, and I've been doing a lot of research on this. There's
hey,
a
Lance.
Great website called Farmed and Dangerous that I'd encourage people to take a look
Farmed
at.
Farmed and Dangerous? You know what? We need to jump to a break really fast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then we'll come back and we'll hear some of the downside of
okay,
farm-raised.
Sure.
Yeah. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Doug with Gold Leaf Nursery. It seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself. But the truth is we've been serving Shasta County for 35 years. That's right, Gold Leaf Nursery has been growing shrubs, trees, vines, vegetable plants, and flats of color since 1975. We will be celebrating through the month of April. Yes, the whole month, and what does that mean to you? Incredible raffles, great seminars, refreshments. Did I mention sales? Just in time for spring bloomers, whether they are trees, shrubs, or flowering vines, they are all going to be on sale. We have an excellent supply of Daphne odora. The sweet aroma of this plant, planted by the front door or window, will permeate a room, and you won't need a plug-in air freshener. Are you looking for organic soils or fertilizers? We have a full line of organics, including Denali Gold. If you have not been into Gold Leaf Nursery, we invite you in to check us out for yourself and see why so many customers tell us what a great nursery we have. Gold Leaf Nursery is located at 6186 Churn Creek Road across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course, just a quarter mile from airport. Or check us out on the web at goldleafnursery.com.
I'm one of those guys who likes to plan. You know, put it down on paper. Family vacation, remodeling the kitchen, maintenance for my wife's car. Well, I was convinced I'd thought of everything, until I heard about pre-planning your own, final arrangements. I was a little intimidated at first, until I saw the sense in putting into writing my desire for funeral arrangements. The folks at McDonald's Chapel and Reading Cemetery made it all easy and natural. And, you know, it's both thoughtful and loving to remove the burdens and guesswork from loved ones who may find the circumstances difficult enough. It's one last loving deed that I can extend to my family when I'm gone, which will probably be very soon if I don't get the maintenance done on my wife's car, remodel the kitchen.
Plan ahead. Plan. Call McDonald's Chapel. Their number is in the white pages. McDonald's Chapel, a Dignity Memorial provider. Support and comfort in difficult times.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just
oh, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show Positively Healthy here on a beautiful Saturday. And we have on the line Lance Aldrin of Aldrin & Sons Fishing in out of Chico. And, you know, Lance, are you still there?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
good. You know, I want to be able to give people your website while we're thinking about it, because Aldrin has two L's in it, and, you
yes.
know, that could
yes,
hang somebody up. So
Right. AldrinSalmon.com.
Yes, A-L-L-D-R-I-N. SALMON.com.
There you go.
And, you know, tell us what's gooky and yucky and awful about this farm-raised thing, because...
Well, the farm-raised salmon, anytime you put something in a contained environment, you come up with issues such as disease and those types of things. And, if you start snooping around, you're going to find that your farm salmon, just like, you know, mass-produced poultry or anything else, has lots of steroids in it. They're trying to get that fish up to marketable weight as quickly as possible. Lots of antibiotics in it, because in that confined environment, they're having all kinds of trouble with diseases coming through. Matter of fact, I believe it was Chile that just lost all of their fish farms to disease, and so they will not be having any farm salmon on the market coming out of Chile. And then they're having horrible sea lice problems, and that's because the fish are in a contained environment. They're in a net pen. The sea lice move in there like fleas on a dog, and they're now giving the fish in their feed an insecticide that actually travels through the fish's system, ends up in the mucus that coats the fish, and when the sea lice, you know, attack the fish, they're dying off because basically the fish is toxic. And if that's what you want to eat, great. I would encourage you to, you know, bypass the farm salmon and wait until wild salmon is available.
And then stockpile.
Stockpile, you betcha.
Our hoarding instinct is kicking up.
Yeah, and if you notice at the store, I mean, there was a class action lawsuit. They even have to label the farm salmon now, saying that there's color added. And you can go to the website, and you can find a color chart. And the fish farmers are actually able to order their fish feed. I call it the Purina Salmon Chow, with coloring added to it, so that the flesh of that fish will have a certain red or orange or pink hue to it, all through artificial added color.
Boy, you know what? The three other people in this studio look pretty dismayed right now. The faces in here and the head shaking. And, you know, another thing I want to point out, too, is that when you eat salmon in a restaurant, you know, it's often farm-raised, and that's not necessarily a question that people think to ask.
Well, that's correct. And you've got to look at this. If it says Atlantic salmon, it is farm-raised. Hopefully they're upfront enough to also include in there, you know, a little phrase that says farm raised. And then the new catchphrase that the farmers are using is organic. And it, as crazy as it sounds, my salmon cannot be organic because I have no control over what it eats. A farmed salmon, the feed is controlled, and they are now certifying farmed salmon as being organic. And people are being fooled into thinking that they're getting a wild product when, in fact, it is a farmed fish under an organic label.
And, you know, a lot of those omega-3s, which is the reason we are trying to consume this salmon, along with the fabulous flavor,
right.
You know, is they're either low or they don't exist. So, you know,
yeah,
you don't have a healthier, yeah, you're not even sort of comparing. Go ahead, Mark.
You talk about Atlantic salmon. Atlantic, to me, sounds like Atlantic Ocean, but you're saying that actually is not the case, that the fish can be called Atlantic, but they're raised in pens near the seashore or wherever?
Well, basically what happened is the Atlantic coast kind of sterilized itself. They overfished, mismanaged, and the wild Atlantic fishery went away. They did, however, take some of that wild stock and begin farming that in Iceland and then down in Chile. And so that is the parent species that is used in your farmed fish is the Atlantic salmon. To my knowledge, there is no Pacific salmon, which is what we have here on the West Coast and up through Alaska, that are being farmed. So if it says Atlantic salmon, yeah, it sounds good, but it's farmed salmon.
Excellent. Okay, well, you know what, in our last couple minutes here, I either want you to or I want to go over the health benefits of salmon, the omega-3 oils. Do you have that as part of your presentation?
You know, I do. I don't actually have it right in front of me
okay. Here,
so if you've got some info
yeah.
you want to give, that'd be great.
Part of our point of our show is really trying to have food be your medicine. And so, you know, in my practice, we try to get people to either take salmon oil or to eat some wild Alaskan salmon and be very, very picky as to the source of their salmon. And so You know, I want to go through just the fact that, these omega-3 oils can lower your risk or your chances of having a heart attack, and
yes.
They're good for your eyesight.
Yep.
They are anti-inflammatory, so if you have any pain syndromes, they thin your blood a little bit, so it's
yes.
less sticky, so it's less likely to clot. Omega-3s are known to relieve depression and to help your memory. And if you're a pregnant woman, you definitely need some of these omega-3s to help the brain development of your child. And
yes.
a lot of people who are deficient in these oils, they have a lot of skin rashes, eczema, they have psoriasis, etc. And these oils regulate hormones. And you know, we have just about 15 or 20 seconds left here, Lance. And you know, What kind of closing comments do you have for the listeners at home?
Well, I always want to encourage healthy living, healthy eating, and I would just encourage people. I don't care if it's the salmon you're buying or the
okay.
The
you know what?
Poultry.
We got to jump out of here. But hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll talk to you next week.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.